Hey there, and welcome to Cyberpunk Librarian Episode 3, Elementary, My Dear OS. I'm Daniel Messer. Hello and welcome to Cyberpunk Librarian, the show where we talk high tech and low budget, because that unfortunately does seem to be the state of libraries these days. Not much money going around for the public library or even academic or some of the private libraries out there either. So we talk about how to utilize the tech that you have and maybe make the most of that. If not, you can always get new tech, but you don't have to buy the absolute high-end stuff all the time. It all depends on what you need. I'm Daniel Messer, the Cyberpunk Librarian, and for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about an operating system of all things. And this is an operating system that I've used myself for probably about a month and a half now, and I've really kind of fallen for it. It's a good operating system. And I think it would be of use to libraries, not only for a back-end sort of staff computer, but also for a public computer. I don't see any reason why you couldn't use it for either. So if you're at one of those sort of libraries that needs, you know, another workstation for a staff member, or, you know, more computers out on the public floor for the people to use, well, this might be a way of fulfilling that without having to buy lots and lots of new tech. Maybe you have some computers in storage that aren't doing anything, but no one wants to deal with Windows licensing or any software licensing or anything like that. And of course, that's where free and open source software can come in and help you out. So I don't think it's any secret that I'm a big fan of reusing computers and giving them new life within your library walls. Throwing away computers to be trotted off to some landfill, it's not only ecologically irresponsible, but in some cases, it's just outright illegal. Now, recycling is good, but reuse is much better. After all, when you reuse something, you're not actually wasting anything or throwing anything away. So, from a staff side, you have to ask yourself, what does the staff really do? Certainly, you have some people in your library that use high-end software like Photoshop or a video editor or something like that. But almost certainly these people are the exception and not the rule, as most of the workers can run along just fine on a sort of standard computer, maybe even an older computer. Especially if all they're doing is accessing the ILS, maybe doing a spreadsheet or two, checking some email, writing documents, you know, stuff like that where you don't need a gaming system or anything to get the job done. You just need a good working computer. And that means you don't exactly need the latest and greatest hardware for your standard day-in-and-out tasks. So, for instance, I used to work at a branch where the pages would simply check their email when they had a moment, and our only rule was that they needed to check it at least once per shift. In this case, all the page really needed was access to Microsoft Outlook, or even the Outlook web client, and we'll cover the Outlook web app on another show. When it comes to that, heck, a Chromebook would do the job because we didn't really have a dedicated computer for the pages to use for that. They would sometimes just check their email on a check-in computer, you know, in discharge, or, you know, they would just ask to borrow someone's computer for a few minutes so they could check their email. Well, with this system, with a dedicated computer, they would have some place they could go and they could log in, get their email, do their business there, and it wouldn't cost, you know, hardly any money because, like I said, you don't need the latest and greatest hardware for an email computer. So, as I said, licenses for Windows can be expensive, and it does seem a bit overkill to install Windows on a PC that's going to be used basically for email and maybe some basic tasks that you'll find in every office. So why not use a computer or two for those pages, on calls, and maybe even frontline staff, and kit it out with a free operating system that's easy to use and easy on the eyes? It doesn't need to be complex or overblown. You just need something simple, something basic, something elementary. Elementary OS, that's a lowercase e on elementary, is without doubt one of the simplest and prettiest operating systems I've ever used. Most websites I've read compare it to, say, OS X, and yes, there are a lot of cues taking ideas from the Mac. Elementary OS is a Linux-based desktop environment that's built for speed and ease of use, which also makes it incredibly easy to install and get up and running in just a few minutes. You can be online and ready to go in less than half an hour, and that's from a clean installation. One of the greatest things about Elementary OS is something that many geeks might overlook as a trifling or mostly irrelevant feature, and that's the beauty of the desktop environment. While some of us, and by us I mean the geeky type of person, may scoff at a pretty OS, because we value function over design, I suppose, we need to remember that we are not the norm. We're not normal people, and I think most of the normal people are quick to remind us geeks that we're not normal people. People love pretty, and they will almost always favor pretty over practical. And that's why Apple is doing so well. I mean, for $1,000, you could get yourself a wonderful Linux laptop with access to tons of great software and everything you'll ever need. But it won't be as stylish as a MacBook Air, nor will the software be as eye-catching. Sorry, Linux devs, but we've got a ways to go before many of our apps are as nice to look at as your baseline OS X app. So, when your average user sits down to Elementary OS, I don't think they're going to feel like they're using a cheap-as-free operating system. I think they're going to actually enjoy the experience of Pantheon, which is the desktop environment that runs the system. So, okay, like all other Linux distros, Elementary OS comes with some standard apps, some of which were actually specifically designed by and for the distro. The default browser is Midori, which is based on WebKit and looks much like Google Chrome or Chromium. The email client is Geary, which is a very bare-bones, yet not totally stripped-down, Gmail app. It's designed to access Google Mail. So if you're using Google Apps for Business at your library or something similar, maybe you've got Gmail accounts for people at your library or something like that, then Geary allows for a pretty seamless link. However, most libraries will probably prefer to use the webmail access provided by, well, almost all email services from Microsoft Exchange on down. The calendaring app and media player are also both custom for the system, and they work extremely well, and they're really nice to look at. I don't know how much use those would be in a library environment, but they're there for you. And the thing you'll notice most, however, is the speed. Elementary OS is fast, my friends, and that is because it's designed to be. But there's enough eye candy and a feature set to make sure you know that you're using a modern operating system. But there's more under the hood to keep that operating system moving along. Now, Elementary OS is based upon Ubuntu, so you can pretty much do anything you want with it that you can also do in Ubuntu. This means that you have access to the Ubuntu Software Center, and it means you can pretty much get any bit of software you might need. All you have to do is open up the Software Center, and you're looking at the Ubuntu Software Center. For command line installs, apt-get works just fine. And if you know your way around Ubuntu, then you're completely ready for Elementary OS. Some of the apps are different, and they look a little different because, of course, they're designed for that desktop environment. But, if you know Ubuntu, you're set to go. And even better, Elementary OS would make for a pretty decent public computer. You could roll Firefox, LibreOffice, GIMP, OpenShot, and other great software onto that system, maybe create an image with CloneZilla in case someone nerfs it all up, and have yourself an inexpensive public computer that'll do everything a Windows computer can and possibly more. After all, GIMP is a very good image editor that you can drop on any system for free. Now compare that to adding, say, Photoshop to all of your public computers. Heck, even some of your public computers. OpenShot will do most of the things people want to do when they edit video, and it costs far less than Sony Vegas or Adobe Premiere. So you can have yourself a pretty kitted out public computer with software that would cost you a bundle on a Windows computer. Now, you know, not every library can have a great big Mac lab with all the trimmings, and those that do should really count themselves lucky. I've been to a few libraries that have wonderful Mac labs, and they're set up and kitted out for things like recording video. They've got green screen setups, and they've got video cameras and microphones and boom mics and lighting and all of that stuff. And then they've got the Macs there with Final Cut Pro and stuff like that to really make the most of what you record. And that's awesome. And I am so happy to see librarians offering those services. But that's pretty damned expensive. And not every library can afford that. But at least you can offer something akin to it that most people are going to find value in anyway. Most people aren't going to need a green screen, for instance, to film their little video project for a school or something like that. They've got a video camera on their phone, or they've got a dedicated video camera. But all they really need is just the software to put it together. And if you can offer them something like OpenShot or Kden Live or something like that, you know, that's not bad. That's not bad. They're going to be able to do pretty much anything they want to with that because they understand that they're not the next, you know, James Cameron or something like that. So for the cost of some decent PCs, you can have yourself an excellent Linux lab that will do much of the same for a fraction of the price. And we're talking a tiny fraction, especially when you start adding in like 27-inch iMacs. It's something to think about, especially if you happen to work in a smaller library. So in the end, here's my recommendation. Elementary OS is amazing. I've used it for quite a little while now, and I absolutely loved it. It's almost, but not quite, enough to pull me away from KDE. But I really have to wonder how much of that is just due to my time with KDE and how long I've used it, and how much, you know, I've grown with it. KDE was pretty much my first desktop environment when I started trying Linux back in the day. So I kind of just went with that, and after a while, I really grew to enjoy KDE, and I still use KDE to this day. But if I were getting, say, a new Linux laptop, I would have to think long and hard as to whether or not I put KDE on it or Elementary. Because Elementary OS does pretty much everything that I would want it to. It's faster than KDE, there is no doubt about that. And besides, since it's based upon Ubuntu, I can still get KDE apps. Yeah, it'll have to install some dependencies and all of that. But, so, I can still get it. That's the beauty of Linux. Anyway, if you're looking to convince someone who's curious about Linux that it's completely worth a try, give them Elementary OS to start. It's not an OS for dummies. It's the OS for the rest of us. So hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. Hope you enjoyed the little overview of Elementary OS, and maybe go out and give it a shot for yourself. As always, I'll have links to everything you would need to download things and check stuff out in the show notes, which you can pick up at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. You can also pick up any archived shows there and listen to everything right on the site. You can also subscribe to the show via RSS or iTunes, whichever suits your fancy. And we'll have all the links to Elementary OS and anything else you might need that I talked about here in the podcast. As always, you can contact me if you like via cyberpunklibrarian@gmail.com. Or there's a contact form on the website. Either one works. Both of those things go to the same address, and I check it, you know, very frequently. It comes to my phone and all that stuff. I am at Bibrarian on Twitter. That's Bibrarian on Twitter. You can always message me there. That also goes to my phone, and I'm pretty quick to respond. So if you've got ideas for an upcoming show, something you'd like me to talk about, something you'd like me to look into, maybe a little bit of news, either way, if you think it might be interesting to cover in a show, by all means, send it to me. I've already had a couple of ideas submitted, and I'm certainly going to be using them for upcoming shows. And speaking of shows, there's a new show I'm going to be launching January 6th that won't be on this channel. It'll be a different podcast, but I'll have a quick announcement here on the channel. It'll be sort of a geek culture, my culture kind of podcast called The Far Side of the Net. And we'll be talking about things like video games, movies, books, the web, technology, anything that kind of suits my fancy. I've got a list of ideas that's about 20 episodes long. So that's going to be released every other week, just like Cyberpunk Librarian. And they'll be interspaced between each other. So one week you'll get Cyberpunk Librarian, and the next week you'll get The Far Side of the Net. I'll just, you know, be recording pretty much every weekend and releasing them on Monday. So you've got something to kind of kick off your week, get things started, and maybe have a little fun while you're at it. Because I try and keep these shows fun and light. The Far Side of the Net will be coming January 6th, as I said. I'll have more details here in an announcement after I get kind of everything set up. And right now you're listening to Memories by Psychedelic Pedestrian. You can check them out at the Free Music Archive. I'll also have links in the show notes for this. And you should really check them out. I really like this group. They're pretty freaking cool. The opening music, as always, is Belly Dance at Ebisu by Ryo Miyashita. And I'll have links to that in the show notes as well. Good stuff there. If you need something for a podcast, a video project, anything like that, dig on the Free Music Archive. They have got some great stuff there. So I will see you next time. Thank you for listening to Cyberpunk Librarian. And I'll catch you next, well, not next week, but week after that for Cyberpunk Librarian. But next week, going to have ourselves some Far Side of the Net. Remember, you don't have to be high-tech to be low-budget, but it certainly helps if you're a cyberpunk. Take care now.